Many people find themselves wondering in college, how do I get the experience that entry-level jobs are looking for? How do I connect with the right people to get the job that I really want? Answers to those questions and more in today's episode with Beth Hendler-Grunt. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. This issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. The goal is to simply get us talking about money, so let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking all about college. How do you get started with college? How do you build your resume? What is the balance between online tools and a physical resume? Lots of great tips in today's episode, and we make sure to talk about money. We're going to talk about how you can get started with your financial life, some things to consider while you're in college when your financial life may not be the usual norm that you're going to have to get used to post-graduation. There's a lot of great things in today's episode, so let's talk about the money talking points at the end, but right now, the money talking points for today's episode are: who can you connect with today to start networking? What are some social activities that you can join to start meeting and connecting with people and make friends and connections at? And three, do you know what life costs after college? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's interview. Today with me, I have Beth Hendler-Grunt joining me. And today we're talking about college. We're talking about getting a job after college. Beth, would you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. My name is Beth Hendler-Grunt. I am the founder of Next Great Step. I'm also the author of the book, The Next Great Step. It's an Amazon number one bestseller. And our sole focus is to help college students and recent grads land the job that they deserve.
Fantastic, which is what we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about how to set yourself up to get that job and just how to get on the right track there after college, because that's something that can be tricky. You spend all this time working on this degree and then you don't know what to do after. But what makes it difficult to find a job after school?
Oh, that's just a great question. So what makes it difficult to find a job after school? I think the problem for a lot of young adults is they have very good intentions. And I think everyone goes to college with the feeling of the college promise, you know, when you graduate, we'll help make sure that you have this great job. And what I think a lot of young adults don't understand is that you can't just wait until your senior year for that to appear, that you actually need to start working on it every year, starting as a freshman. And very often, young adults are just trying to adjust to college life. So they feel they either don't have time or it's a little overwhelming. They know they might need to do things, but they could be intimidated. So I think there's a lot of hope put on either the university promises or that they think it'll just work out, that maybe mom or dad knows somebody. But there really is an effort that needs to be put in every single year of school in order to be successful to land that job.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like when you're in high school, kind of what you just said applies to getting into college. And then you got to keep it going when you're in college. You can't just wait till the very last minute when it comes to these things to start trying to figure it out. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense, but it's really hard in practice, I guess, to actually put it into play. But make sure you're getting started early and don't wait till the last minute, which I think leads us greatly into our next question, because when we talk about investing, this is a money podcast, so we talk about investing here. And when we talk about it, we talk about that long time horizon, making sure you're invested for the future for a long time. So in that same vein of getting started earlier than your senior year, what are some ways that young adults or people who are just starting their college experience can begin planting those seeds or maybe those little investments to help with their job search after they graduate?
Sure. There's so many opportunities. I think one of the most important things is just to be informed. You know, I think some families or some kids come from families where money is talked about or how you invest it, and others, it's considered a very private, not discussed thing. But I think both, you know, young men and especially young women really need to understand, how do you create a budget? How do you save? You know, what do things actually cost? I think there's a feeling when you're in college, like, oh, well, I have room and board and I have my, you know, food cared for and the academics, but the understanding of like, let's just take a look at what it actually would cost to rent an apartment in New York City and what it would cost to buy food every week. And so I think just being knowledgeable, whether it's through a class or a family member, like just understanding that. And I also think there's an opportunity if you can start to do some investing or just put something into a savings account or a money market or someone with an advisor to guide you. Even, you know, if you get birthday money, start putting that away so you can understand how to invest that. And the other thing I think is really important is when a recent grad or young adult gets a job, if the company matches for the 401k to max it out as much as you possibly can, be up to 16% of your salary. And initially you'll think, well, that's a lot of money and I could be bringing it home, but it compounds so greatly. If you start young, it's incredible what's available to you when you want to retire. So looking at the long game.
Awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. I like that. It's always great to get started early. It's always great to make sure you're aware. And that's where these money talks come into play, is making sure you're talking about it with other people. There's probably someone who knows more than you do if you're just getting started. So ask around, figure out what people, figure out what people already know. How do they, or I guess let's talk about college networking. Is it worth it? Is that something that they should be doing right out the gate, or can they wait till their senior year on that?
My answer is you need to start networking from the very beginning, but it doesn't always have to be called networking, right? You come in as a freshman and you're just like eyes wide open of who am I going to be friends with? Who can I meet? But the process of just putting yourself in places where you have the opportunity to meet a lot of people early on. So I'm going to join that rec basketball club. I'm going to join a club related to my psych major. I'm going to meet my professor and have them get to know me and me go ask questions. So now I have someone in academics that knows me. I think there's a lot of fear on behalf of a lot of young adults. I mean, and candidly, even this like class of 2023, when you've just experienced COVID for the last 3-4 years and don't have that practice introducing yourself or making friends, I mean, all of those things, I think it doesn't have to be called networking. It's just being open to meeting people. And then as you get closer into wanting to look for an internship or job, starting to be curious and ask questions of how did you do what you're doing? How did you get there? You know, what advice would you give to someone like me who's interested in this? And that will start to really facilitate the ability to connect with people on a level that really opens up doors.
Awesome. That makes a ton of sense. I like it. I like the approach of maybe don't look at it as networking, just look at it as making friends. Because I know for me, when I was in college, networking is kind of this scary, big task that you got to take care of. And you're like, oh, I don't like networking. But when you think about it as just making friends and like having conversations. And like you said, that rec basketball league may not be networking per se. You're not talking about your job or career or anything at all. But when you're both seniors and you see each other like in a senior like capstone class or something like that, you already have that friendship built and it's easier to talk to that person. So yeah, just put yourself out there. I think that's a fantastic idea. Yeah, wonderful. Absolutely. Building the portfolio or resume, that's something that you're going to submit a resume to a bunch of employers, and a portfolio is probably good. What are some tools that might be useful when building that?
So I just want to clarify, your definition of portfolio is not a financial one. It's more of like a portfolio of activities. And I think going back to that same thing about networking, it's how can you just start getting involved. It's as simple as that of what do I like? What do I want to learn more about? Because the more you get involved, whether it's with a charity or a social organization or a sports league, it just, there's opportunities always within that too, is someone needs to be in a leadership position. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to do that. And that's how you start to build your resume and portfolio in addition to your academics. You can also think about what are the team projects that I had to work on? And what role did I play? Was I a leader? Was I the one who did all the analysis? Was I the person who coordinated different things? Because those are skills in itself that you're acquiring. And the more that you can have opportunities to build your skill set or learn new skills, that's also what starts to help round out your resume when you start to create it as you're getting closer to graduating.
I think that commonly people see entry-level jobs that have like, you need 2 years of experience. And the common thing is, oh, how do you get 2 years of experience if it's an entry-level job, if it's my first job? Do you think that those opportunities that you just spoke about, do you think those count? Do employers look at those and say, oh yeah, all that stuff you did in college, that's worth something?
100%. So this is such a good question. So many students and grads come to me and say, every job says 2 to 3 years experience. How is that possible? I'm only a college student. But I totally agree that if you can show that you were, you know, participated in a charity at school, or you did an internship, or you were on the board of a club, or you, all of that adds up to experience. It doesn't, you know, employers will always ask for the most, but it's not always the most realistic mm-hmm. ask. So when you show that here's all the things that I've done and I'm putting it together, that's what people want to see. It's what practical experience have you had? What skills have you acquired? And how can you apply it to the job that you're actually submitting to? And very often, young adults and students do have the experience. You have it. You just need to put it together and be confident in doing that.
Yeah. Do you think that only putting your, I don't know, my thought is now, is a paper resume like gone? Should you just have everything on LinkedIn? What are your thoughts around like how we submit our information?
Great question. So the actual physical paper, like handing, I don't think it's gone. I actually think you need to have both. You need to have a really strong resume that you can hand to someone when you meet someone, and you need to have it in PDF form so you can email it without it being edited or, you know, the formatting being adjusted. And you need to have the identical information in your LinkedIn profile, not an attachment, actually filled out mm-hmm. under the experience. And then LinkedIn offers you the benefit of adding more, where you can have a creative headline. You can have a really a nice about section that explains more about why you're interested in this field or what you might have done. It allows you to give a little bit more of your personality. So all of the above, you need it in paper, you need it electronic, and you need it in LinkedIn. The important piece is that it should be very consistent. You don't want someone to look at your LinkedIn profile and then look at your resume and then it doesn't really match up. Make it easy for whoever looks at it.
Yep. Awesome. Do you have a thought on how long your resume should be? I've hired for positions before, and I've seen people that come in with like 6 pages front and back of a resume, and I don't read it all. Is there a good recommendation there for people?
Absolutely. So my philosophy is always people do not read and people do not listen. And if you are a young adult with a resume, I don't care how many experiences you've had, because you haven't had many years of work, it absolutely should be one page. Unless you've done something so phenomenal. But honestly, if you can't be concise and get that point across in a few bullets, then to me, you're going to lose people. Exactly. Because people will stop reading. They're going to stop paying attention. So as a young adult, typically, I think the guideline is for every 10 years of experience, it should be one page. Mm-hmm. You don't even have close to 10 years of experience yet. So there's no reason it should be going on for pages and pages. You need to be more concise, because you're going to lose your reader if you keep it longer.
Yeah. And I think that's where tools like LinkedIn come into play, is when you're like, your resume can get long because maybe you've had all those odd random jobs in high school or early college, but those aren't applicable to the job you're trying to get post-college, to the professional career you're trying to start. So leave those on LinkedIn and just then push them off your resume. Cause yeah, you're not, someone who's reading your resume isn't reading more than the first page anyways. So make sure all your good stuff's on there. And I'd say keep off the extra fluff.
Yeah. 100%.
So if people, the time this episode comes out, there's a few months until people are graduating in the winter, and then a few months until some people are going to be graduating in the spring. What are some steps that those people can take today to help them get on track to find a job after they graduate?
Yeah. So if you are someone who's going to be graduating in December or even next May, you know, my philosophy is like earlier is better than later. But of course, you have to balance that with your school schedule, and because school's first, you got to graduate. But there are small steps that you can do right now to start helping you on the path. So the first thing I would suggest is, before you send out a resume, before you start going to any of those job boards, you need to take a little bit of time and understand, what is it that I'm really good at? Forget the major that you studied. Just understand, what are your core skills? Things like, are you a problem solver? Do you know how to research? Are you a great writer? And then think about, well, what are the kinds of roles and companies that I want to bring those skills to? So creating a list, I want you to create a list of 10 companies that you're interested in, 10 people that might have that job. By the way, LinkedIn's a great way to find those people. Look for someone who graduated in the last 5 years and is also a fellow alumni from your same school. And those people tend to be the most receptive to speak with. And then you want to try to start scheduling some maybe more formal networking conversations to ask these people, tell me about your role. How did you get there? What advice would you give for me if I was to move into that role? And I think just starting to get clarity about yourself and actually talking to people who are in the job saves you a lot of time, as opposed to blindly sending your resume to hundreds of jobs that you don't have any connection with. You know, there's this hidden job market where someone that you're talking to very well may know about an opening that was never posted. Mm-hmm. And those are the kinds of opportunities you want to start finding out about to get hired.
Yeah, the hidden job market is something that's really crazy, because like I just mentioned, I've hired for positions in my past, and there was one where, because I knew someone, I just reached out to them, they got the job, and we interviewed like one other person, but that was it. Like, most people probably didn't even find the position in time because there was that previous connection. So make sure those are there. I think that is way more valuable than people think and expect. There was one, I don't know the exact stat, but the majority of jobs never make it to some job board. So if you're relying solely on job boards to find a job, that might be where you fall short, or where you might not find that job for you. Because I think what's really cool, and I don't know, let me know how you feel about networking, but I think when you connect with people and there is that connection, then they're able to, they have you in mind when they think of the job. They're not just throwing you to random jobs. They're throwing you to something that they think you're suited for. So it kind of helps you get a leg up when it comes to submitting your resume, because someone's already maybe connected you with the potential for that position. Do you think that's how networking can work?
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. The statistic that you were asking, so 80% of jobs are found by referral. They are not found by applying online or just hoping someone will find you on LinkedIn. It's through targeted networking. And like you and myself, I, as a hiring manager, it's kind of a drag, right? Hiring managers don't really want to go through sorting through hundreds of resumes. The first thing they'd like to do is say, who have I spoken with recently that could be a fit for this job? So I don't even have to post it, or I don't even have to go through the process of looking at all these resumes. Who do I know? Who do I trust? Who am I going to call in terms of my own network? And I do the same thing. If I've had people that have reached out to me, or we've had informal interviews, I have an opening and say, you know what? I think you'd be the right fit for that. The job was never posted. I mean, that's what's the secret job market, or they call it now quiet hiring. There used to be quiet quitting. Now it's quiet hiring. And 100%, that's how people get the edge in terms of getting that first job.
Yeah, it is all about networking. As much as I don't like networking as much, it's just not my jam, but you got to do it. It really does help you out in your career. It helps you stay ahead, because you're finding those jobs that others aren't even finding. So you're getting in the place where you want to be, where others just can't get to. Well, Beth, this has been a fantastic conversation. Was there anything you'd like to add first? And if not, how can people contact you, get in touch to work with you, and learn more about you?
Sure. I would just share that I know the job search for young adults, especially, I mean, like for everybody, but especially for young adults, it's overwhelming, it's intimidating, it's uncomfortable, and it can be very discouraging. And I totally understand that, especially the job market now. And I would just reinforce that it's one email, one call, or one reach out will not get you hired. You have to be persistent and keep calling and keep reaching out and just keep at it in order to be the one that is known and ultimately gets hired. And I just encourage you, I know it can be very discouraging, or there's a lot of mental health issues. People don't feel that they're qualified. There's a lot of imposter syndrome, like I'm not good enough. You are good enough. Just keep at it. And that is will help you be successful. Fantastic. And separately, So, and then for me, if anyone wants to get in touch and learning more about how we help college students and recent grads land the internship or first job, you can go to our website, nextgreatstep.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says, let's talk. And we offer a 20-minute complimentary consultation to students, grads, their parents, to help them learn more about what we have to offer.
Thank you so much for Beth for coming on today's episode. And thank you all for listening to that wonderful interview with her. How is what we learned and talked about today going to impact you? Well, first, I hope it motivated you to go out and start networking. To be honest, myself, I don't really like networking. It's not something that I really enjoy, but it can be pretty fun. In some of my experiences, there was a networking group that I was a part of for my current job where they took us to a Chicago Cubs game. While that may not be the norm, and it was super fun as a Cubs fan, there are fun activities and fun groups that you can join that you're going to get to do fun things with other people. And then you're going to begin to build those friendships naturally, and it's going to be a whole lot easier to connect, ask questions, build your career with those people, and it'll be a whole lot more fun, trust me. You'll get used to networking, and it's really not that bad. But let's talk about the money talking points. The first one was, who can you connect with today to start networking? The first one's going to be your teachers. They're going to be a great source of reference for you when you're applying for jobs. Most of your teachers, especially if you've worked with them maybe in multiple classes, or you had some group or club that you were a part of that they were facilitating and that they were the teacher over, those teachers are going to be happy to be your reference because they've worked with you. They know your experience. They are how you're going to meet that 2 to 3 years of entry-level experience because they're going to be able to talk about the leadership opportunities that you took. They're going to be able to talk about the hard work you put in college. So make sure you're connecting with your teachers. They also may be able to recommend you for a job as soon as they see it pop up. Teachers are a great source to be connected to if you're getting started in college. The second money talking point, what are some social activities that you can start to connect with people and make friends and connections at? Think about rec sports, clubs, local events, activities. Make sure, find a good friend if you have a good friend at college, take them with you to all of those. That'll make that way easier and less stressful. You can both start connecting with people and then you can begin to branch off into your career networks and things like that where you're more comfortable with the people who are there. But take a close friend, make it easy on yourself, don't make it a whole lot of pressure, and just start making simple friendships. You don't need to go up to everyone and asking, hey, help me find a job. Hey, do you know anyone who can help me find a job? Don't put those big pressure questions on them right away. Make sure you're just making friends and making connections and it'll all get easier from there. The third money talking point is, do you know what your life costs after college? Because college can be such a weird time where you just have a meal plan that you pay for and college is such a nice environment and community that's built around itself. It can be very different from how much life is going to cost after college. Do you have to have a car in college? You're probably going to have a car after college, unfortunately, but that's an expense you got to think about. Make sure you're taking those things into account so that you're prepared when you exit college to start paying for things. It'll help you identify what kind of salary you need, because I know for me, when I was first finding jobs, it's like, what's your salary expectations? Like, I don't know. What is a salary expectation? I've never had to think about that sort of thing. So make sure you're prepared on that front by thinking about what you want to make sure you're making, what you're going to need to pay for your life ahead of time. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Make sure that you're thinking about your job search before you end your senior year. It helps you figure out what kind of classes you want to take or clubs and organizations you want to join. I know for me, I had a lot of wonderful experiences start in my junior year, and those were able to build and compound through my senior year to be experiences that matter a lot to helping me find the job that I have today. So make sure you're getting involved, stay involved, find organizations and clubs and groups that are going to help you hone in your skills, help you figure out how to network with people and how to figure out how to take leadership opportunities. It's going to be extremely helpful when it comes to finding a job after school. If you'd like to get in contact with Beth, her contact information and her website are going to be in the show notes. But like I mentioned, consider emailing me and then I can make that connection for you, which is a true form of networking. I can't tell you how many people at my job have told me, hey, I met this person at a conference. They did this, this, and this. I think you would be worth having a conversation with them. I'd say, yeah, let's connect. And they send an email between the three of us to say, hey, here's so-and-so. This is what they do. Would you like to speak with them? They'd like to talk with you and have a few questions. Really simple. So I'd be happy to connect you with Beth. If you or anyone you know is trying to find a job after college, please shoot me an email and let's connect. Thank you to each one of you for listening to today's episode. Of course, you can head over to YouTube to find the video version of today's episode, but I want to plug next week's episode as well. We're talking about how to manage your grocery budget. There's a wonderful app that I use, and I'm going to show some video tutorials on YouTube, so make sure you're subscribed over there so that you don't miss any of the information and you can find the most useful information on how to manage your grocery budget the best way in next week's episode. I hope today's episode helped you or helped a student in your life figure out how to network and start making friends and start making connections before they graduate to make the job search easier. So make sure to share today's episode with a friend or a fellow student or a student that you know, and make sure to have a money talk about how you can start preparing after college for the job search and for what your financial life is going to cost. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.